This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk on Devil Radio 92.7. Now, here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. Educated educators talking education.
Welcome back Tuesday evening, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Johnny Lupinacci out there in the state of Washington. Evan, Madison, Wisconsin, bringing a show home for everybody out there listening. No guests tonight, though. We do want to say thank you last week to an incredible guest, Dr. Diane Ravitch, who was awesome, had some incredible conversation. You know, we started with the what's going on in Florida with the attack on American history, and it ended with, you know, somebody quoted a piece from the show, and I forget it, but it was like, I made a comment about public schools, and if you're not an advocate for public schools, you can't be an advocate for freedom. And I tell you, I'm back on that. Tonight, though, special show, call in. We want to know what you're thinking, what you're talking about, what you're feeling. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789 is the number. Johnny, there is so much going on. We've had a plethora of guests. How do you like that word, plethora? Talked about topic, deep stuff. I thought, you know what? We haven't heard from, you know, L.A. Tom and all the callers in the past. It's like, give them a chance to come back, talk to us. And new callers, if you're out there, 844-967-2789, give us a call. Anything goes tonight. I will put a question, though, to put out there. Anybody wants to call and tell me how you would define freedom? We're looking for the best definition of freedom tonight, going with where I said, if you're not a public school advocate, you can't be for freedom. What am I talking about there? Answer that question. Freedom. Johnny Lupinacci, what's going on in your world?
Not much, Tim. Love the use of the word plethora. we have had a plethora of great guests, and there has not been a dearth of things to talk about in response to what's going on in the world of education right now. You know, it's never a dull moment because schools are always active sites of not only learning, but of politics. And things are alive right now in the political landscape of education. And so lots to talk about, man.
Lots to talk about. So I'll just, you know, give you some headlines out there. Quote, they're just tired. School goes to a 4-day week to save burned out teachers.
And that's one headline. Happening.
Yeah.
Another happening in more and more places, especially in our rural communities.
Our strike has shut down LA schools. Here's why it was necessary. That's a big deal today. Los Angeles schools going on strike. In fact, Los Angeles schools closed. The strike begins. Talks at a standstill. Florida GOP bill could ban girls from talking about periods in school. And that would be not the things at the ends of sentences. We're going to ban the discussion of, yes, that time of the month, because there obviously are some very weak white men out there that just can't handle, you know, that discussion of that. Johnny, I see you're like, whoa, wait, like, wait a minute. You know, 844-967-2789. What are you thinking, man? You know, you have two daughters.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have one. Mine's older, but I mean, you know, this is something that, you know, a male who has a daughter, this is something, I don't know where you're at in this, and it's okay for you to keep it where it is, but you know, it's something we deal with, we talk about, we go through it, we move on, right?
Well, I mean, it's part of life. I mean, and so it's also part of science, it's also part of health, it's also, I mean, it's in every way not shocking, but absurd to think that it would be, you know, in a category of debate for what shouldn't be included into, you know, my guess is health curriculum,
right?
As well as in general, just, I mean, if you're thinking about it at age appropriate level, it's part of, I mean, it's not exactly half, but if we're going to get really, you know, really simplifying this, at least half the class half the school, you know, is going to be facing those kinds of important parts of their lives. And so why not have it included appropriately in with the learning? It's a no-brainer. It makes absolute sense as a teacher, as a parent. I made some kind of like facial expressions here in the Zoom, and I sigh, because I just think with so many important things going on, that the fact that this is part of a debate, right, is befuddling to me.
It's worse. It's not part of a debate. It is literally a bill that took the time and effort of some people to put together, to put forward, to literally try to legislate the ability to talk about biology, the realities of biology. Now, these are the same people that say biology doesn't lie, Johnny, right? They're all about, look, when we're talking about things, we got to be straight. We got to talk about biology because biology is a fact, except when the facts of biology, for example, what happens to girls as they're going through, we're not going to talk about that fact because, well, I just don't like it. It makes me feel a little bit, you know, I don't know. Well, hey, Johnny, though, 844-967-2789. I see right there, Steven from Green Bay. Wait a minute. Steven, you are on. Steven, what's going on? Are you afraid to say the word period?
Steven. I am not.
Okay.
But I am different than a lot of people, I'm told. But I will tell you that I am actually, and Evan, your producer, can tell you this, a frequent caller into Civic Media, and I am enjoying listening to your show for the very first time.
Great.
And this is what I want to say. You guys bring up freedom, and you guys bring up education. And I think those things go hand in hand because there are two things that are under attack in this country. Yep. More and more, we are hearing of people in political power that are trying to take their politics into the classroom and determine what our kids should and should not learn about. And I think this is a dangerous precedent because I know me personally, I went to public school, and what I learned in school has a big part in my belief system today as an adult. And so if we shield our kids from learning about certain things in school, and we say, you know, that doesn't fit my political ideology, so you can't learn about it, I think we're doing our kids a great disservice.
I don't disagree with you. Okay, I just want to, though, for a second, because you opened up the potential to say, actually, Steven, you gave us a very good example of why some people are saying, I'm not sure I trust what Steven learned in public schools. In fact, that's why we who are smarter and in power need to make sure that people like Steven learn the right things. Any thoughts on? I'm taking the position, right?
Yeah, and you know, I appreciate you playing devil's advocate with this issue.
Good.
And to be honest with you, this is what I would say to somebody like that. I didn't go to school in this time period with Gen Zers. So what I learned is probably completely different than what kids are learning today with the rapid pace that education has been changing. But what I will say is that I don't think, unless you went to school to be a teacher or you've ever been in a classroom, that you have any right to be talking about what kids should or should not be learning about in school. And maybe that is a far out radical thought, but that is my opinion when it comes to education.
Education is important.
Education is essential to bring generations of people that will be responsible And if we bring irresponsible politics into the classroom, we cannot expect to be raising children that will one day turn into adults and have them carry out life in a responsible manner.
Steven, my goodness, thank you for that call. Awesomeness. Johnny, I mean, we got, you know, a little comment there. Steven, please call us again. Thank you for the first time listening. Check out some of the other shows that have been downloaded, podcasts. Check it out, but we appreciate the call. Johnny, comments for Steven, and then we'll move into commercial. And we'll get more calls, 844-967-2789. Johnny.
Yeah, I'm glad Steven called and shared that. I mean, we couldn't agree more with what he shared. And it made me excited because backing up a few shows, we made prognostications for the for the year. And one of them was the involvement in teachers more politically in the legislative process, right? Because no educator who essentially takes an oath to do the least amount of harm or to do no harm to children and to prepare them for their role as a citizen in a democracy is going to advocate for something as audacious as them not learning about what's happening in their own bodies, right? So I like what Steven said to bring it back to the discussion about menstruation on the curriculum and different other things. It's really important that educators listen to the voice of educators, because whatever generation they're coming from, we're really working in the classroom to present students with the most up-to-date information and facts and skills that they can discern, make sense of, read the world, and make decisions together in a democracy. And so, you know, Stephen called and made those connections really beautifully, that there is no freedom without good education, because education, in a sense, emancipates us from not being able to make complicated decisions together. It prepares us to do that.
Well, that's it. Man, emancipation, throwing that out there, education, emancipation, freedom, it's all there. Steven from Green Bay, thanks for the call. The number is 844-967-2789. It is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. We want to hear from you. Anything you want to talk about, lots of crazy news, but we're trying to define freedom. When we get back, give us a call. Busted Pencils, back after the break. Leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. The number is 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Call in show tonight. You know, we have had a string of shows with guests, incredible topics. We thought, though, tonight, let's bring it back to the listener. Let you give us a call. Steven from Green Bay, thank you for that call. The first part of the show. Johnny, you know, we're sitting here talking about this and we were looking at the headlines and, you know, this freedom. And I said, if you're not sure what to call about it, how about this? Tell me why education and freedom go together. Why do education and freedom go together? Because we can start there, or, you know, anything else within education. If you want to talk about Florida men trying to outlaw the discussion of, and Johnny, you used the big word, the menstrual cycle. You even used the correct biological definition there, or term. So I appreciate that. You must not have been, you didn't go to a school district we're talking about that was banned. But, you know, I think about this though too. We're thinking about all of the things that are going on. And so we're looking at some of the, you know, some of the headlines. And I just wanted to go back with, you know, do parents, Bill of Rights proposals address what parents really want. Shelves have been left barren. Florida teachers sue DeSantis government. Federal judge blocks enforcement of DeSantis Stop Woke Act again. Johnny, no shortage of Florida in the news. No shortage. What's going on? Now, I know, I'm not sure if Seresta is listening live down in Florida. We're going to ask her to come on the show, though, as another guest. But she sent me a text message after Diane's show and said, look, if you want to talk about Florida, you got to talk to me. So, you know, in fact, put it out there. If you're down there in Florida listening, 844-967-2789, we would love to hear from you about what it is to actually live in the Florida, as some of my friends who live in Florida like to say, Florida, now. But Johnny, what do you think is going on in Florida?
Well, I mean, we've been talking about it, Tim, and it's not only happening in Florida, although Florida's doing a pretty good job of staying in the headlines and sort of leading the charge at this moment. But you summed it up, and we've talked about it. And for our listeners who might not know, there's legislation to really, really do more than just censor what's taught in schools, but to be threatening to the current curriculum or to any growth of curriculum around issues with gender and with diversity, equity, and inclusion, teaching history that includes, you know, the systemic racism that's part of this country's history, that is blown into debate as though things that happened didn't happen. And
right.
And the, you know, the governor in Florida is really working together with a network of people across the country to politically, you know, censor what children are learning in schools. It sounds like, and this is the really tricky part for our listeners, and it's important to invite them to chime in. It sounds like I do believe that education ought to be a state right. And I do believe that it is part of democratic debate. It is legislative responsibility to have a say in the what's taught in schools, to have a say in it. I want always, when we talk about this time, I want always more educators involved in that process. But that's part of the democratic process. We as educators also have to be part of that. So we have a responsibility to speaking up, which Florida teachers are doing.
But yes, they are.
But what's happening is under the sort of the guise of, hey, we need to pay attention to what our children are learning in schools, which I believe is of utmost importance as well. Under the guise of that charge, there's sort of an underhandedness saying, and we want to make sure they're only learning particular things. And that's not only a problem, it becomes a huge problem when it's, we want them to learn things that aren't true. This becomes incredibly a problem because this is a nonpartisan issue. When we bring fact and skills to classrooms, right? Like what happened in the history of this country, say something as it should not be as politically debated as is something like slavery, right? We want children to learn what happened. We want them to understand the barriers to racial equality in front of them, because they deserve to be in the kind of world that Martin Luther King Jr. shared a dream about, and that so many people in this country believe is possible, to live in a place where racism, right, doesn't exist, right? Mm. So if children are learning to have that goal, they need to understand the history of what's happened in this country. So to erase that history from the curriculum, and then to go one step further, which is what is happening in Florida, to make it potentially illegal to teach,
right,
is an act towards fascism. This is not democracy. This is an act towards fascism. So it's antithetical to freedom, which you brought up earlier, Tim, was what's the relationship between public education and freedom? It's that we are learning together to make decisions. That's freedom.
That's it. There is, and I'm going to throw it back. There is no freedom without a public education system. It just can't exist. Now, as you said, Johnny, there is the public debate, the public participation in democracy, the contributions of what goes into that education. And we are saying that is fully what we should be engaging in. However, the idea that you're going to, as you put forward, you know, this very straight here's the rules. Here's how you're going to make the rules. Here's how we're going to live by them. You know, sorry, that's fascism. The number, 844-967-2789.
Give us a call.
Give us a call. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, back after the break. Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. The number is 844-967-2789. Special call-in show. We've had weeks upon weeks of guests. We wanted to give the opportunity for the listener to call in, talk about it. We put a couple feelers out there. Freedom and education, what do they have to do with each other? If you have an answer to that question, give us a call. Johnny, though, during the break, you had a, you know, I'm going to put this out there, and I'll put it out also as a question for somebody to call, even maybe attach a free Busted Pencils T-shirt. Who said Florida is where woke goes to die? Florida is where woke goes to die. We're not going to give that. So if you want to call in, free T-shirt, 844-967-2789. But with that, Johnny, I'm going to put you on the spot that, you know, people saw the viral YouTube video of a conservative person being asked the question. I'm going to ask you, Johnny Lupinacci. Johnny Lupinacci, define woke for me.
Well, I mean, it's being redefined right in front of us because okay. There's a literal sort of meaning of it, right? To be awoke, to be awakened to be conscious of the world around us, right? And so to be wide awake, I mean, there's the like literal, like we're either asleep, like physically sleeping, or we're awake, and so conscious and unconscious parts of the day, and then the metaphor kind of carries forward, right? So it's caught on, it's been sort of slang, and it's made its way into mainstream culture in terms of like to be woke sort of meant to be sort of aware of whether it's cultural differences or particular inequalities that are no longer or ought to be no longer status quo. We want to see them change, right? Like to think with bigotry, you know, is no longer accepted. And to be quote unquote awakened to this realization. Mm-hmm. And then I want to be really clear about the word sort of took some turns in culture where it became kind of comfortable for people who weren't actually living those principles to say like, I'm woke,
right? Man.
Like I believe in equality. I'm woke, but they didn't really do anything that actually shows that. So maybe like as a man, I might say like, I'm woke, I'm feminist, but I'm not really, right? Because I'm not really acting in ways that promote women as equals, right? Mm. It lacked the action piece because it became sort of a label or a term. It then took another spin more recently where it became a little bit of a dog whistle or a sort of call to action from radical conservatives. So this is like far right wing conservatives who are using it to, you know, draw attention to either teaching or to movements in schools in particular, but anywhere in community that are inclusive, that are really looking at addressing, you know, inequality, that are looking at being race, like being anti-racist, that are looking at, you know, ending sexism, that are looking at, being
gender identity,
right? All of these pieces, gender to being recognizing of diverse genders and abilities. This then became labeled woke. And this is the thing. I like this word, actually. I don't like using it, but I like the debate it brings up. Because let's flip the opposite. What would we prefer? People to be asleep? And so, I mean, this is not new. A really great article written in the 70s by Maxine Green, New York educator and you know, scholar and strong voice in education, said, you know, wide awakeness, wide awaken the moral life, and makes this important case that why would we want to be asleep at the wheel in our country? Why would we want people to, in a sense, metaphorically, be asleep to what's going on all around them? In effect, so to be awakened to the vast world, to the wonders of democracy, to the beauty and the value of diversity is the goal, right? And all its wonder. And so it's being used in a lot of ways, but in an essential way that, like, so what is the opposite here? The Florida legislators want us to be asleep in school? We want to be asleep at the wheel? You want your bus driver sleeping while you're riding the bus? No, I want my kids, who, as a teacher, who's awakened and awakening them to the world around them.
But it's crazy, though. Like you just said, it, you know, it's like, how in the world did it turn into, you know, like, hey, wait a minute, I'm not woke. Where people who are sitting there saying, it's like, okay, now that's become a pejorative type of term, right? The reality, what you're just saying is, okay, so you just called me woke, and I'm supposed to be upset because you just proclaim to the world that I'm not sleeping. Yeah. Okay, I'm offended by the fact that you realize that I'm not sleeping. We got Joanna from Madison on the line. Joanna, okay, free t-shirt. Where Florida is where woke goes to die. Who said that, Joanna? Joanne.
Oh, okay. I believe that the current governor of Florida said that.
Okay, give me a name.
DeSanctimonious, I think his name is.
DeSanctimonious, it is.
Yeah,
all right,
yeah.
And you will leave Evan your mailing address and shirt size, and I will get that to you. Joanne, what's going on?
Okay, I'm wondering what might stop what you're talking about in Florida. Where are the breaks? If we can do a systems model here of what's going on. Obviously, there are a lot of deep emotional roots, and you can trace them to racism and sexism and all that. But I'm trying to think of the broader picture. We've got child labor becoming a huge issue. Down the street from me, here in Madison, Wisconsin, we have a McDonald's that's asking for 14-year-olds for the summer to work. Now, if I'm a 14-year-old girl and I can't handle my hygiene, my personal hygiene, and I don't understand my period well enough, and I don't understand what's going on with me, I'm not going to be a very good employee. And again, I'm hoping that even though I'm tremendously against the military and all sorts of manifestations, that the military begins to talk to folks in Florida and say, hey, we need people who, as recruits, who understand what a condom is, okay, and know how to use it, who understand how not to attack each other, who understand their emotions and all of that, and personal hygiene as well. And if this isn't taught in the schools, as a person who knows a little bit about inner city life, I was brought up in the inner city of Chicago. There will often not be other people to teach this. You won't have parents who are available to teach these individuals. Perhaps a grandparent has some custodial operations, but indeed you do need a school that is loving and supportive, and teachers who know how to do this. And one more thing before I get off the soapbox. Literally, okay. the items that they need should be available. Soap, deodorant, certainly feminine hygiene products. They should be available right in the schools and made easy and safe to use. And, of course, the entire system of the school will benefit as a result. People won't be asking each other, as I was asked many times as a young lady, do you have a pad on you? Do you have a tampon on you? That will all be available, and it doesn't cost that much. It's peanuts in relation to, and if you ask janitors, the janitors are my favorite aspect of any school, and they aren't sanitary engineers, they're janitors, and they're the best, and they love it, and they love the students. They will say that this will help their jobs as well, that the right kinds of I'm telling you way much more. You're saying too much information, but again, that's my prescription. And it will help corporations, it'll help the military, and it will help our beloved students. And your show is so timely. You're going places where no other show has gone before. Bless you. Thank you so much.
Oh, Joanne, we love it when you call. Thank you so much. Johnny, I'm going to say Joanne sounds woke to me.
Well, it depends on which version of this we use, right? Because I'm telling you, Tim, like, we are using it like to be awakened to. You know, DeSantis and the boys are using it to sort of as a put down. But I will just pick on sort of liberals already. You know, they had already made it a put down.
They did
become this sort of like, oh, woke. You know, Joanne is awakened to, is aware of these inequalities, as well as the solutions that make sense, that just make the role of public schools to really providing that sort of equilibrium for all students, that wherever they are, whatever their needs are, right, there is a loving, caring space for young people to learn. And it's complicated, right? Maybe we should be learning some of these things at home, but we might not be.
We're
learning different versions of this at home. It helps us to learn when we're in schools, we learn that difference is not a bad thing. There are different ways to look at the world, to understand the world, and together we make sense of them in our schools when we're young. This is where we practice community at a young age. This is where we learn to be citizens. So Joanne was right on point, and we could say she was woke because by that definition, that is the kind of woke we'd like it to be. Right. But remember, woke is also kind of like calling somebody a snowflake.
Yeah, right? I know, another similar term,
right? It's sort of like social justice warrior. That actually should be a powerful thing of someone who fights for social justice, but it became sort of this person who puts up a Facebook post, you know, and lets it ride. And they're just
what you're describing to me though are the social justice posers, not warriors, the social justice posers.
But self-proclaim themselves that. And so that's where the term sort of takes. We've handed these terms to the radical right. I mean, they catch on to it on Twitter, onto these places, and they latch on to it. I mean, I'll be kind of petty. Can't even come up with their own put downs. They got to steal ours. But so we were already sort of making joke of this wokeness, like kind of pretend socially conscious, you know, person who's all about the environment, but like holding a water bottle, right? It's like not like a refillable one, like a plastic water bottle. These kinds of contradictory ways in which we become part of movements. You know, we're already kind of making jokes of this in the internet, and then it like gave fuel to the fire of the radical right wing, who's really interested then in figuring out these ways to give put downs. And it's caught traction. It's in lots of school board meetings that I attend. I've talked to a number of concerned parents who say, I'm really concerned about, you know, my kids having a woke teacher.
Having a woke teacher, right. Yeah. I know.
I'm not minimizing it. It is actually part of a real discourse happening across our country right now.
Well, think about that though, right? I'm really concerned. And so what you're really pointing out is how, you know, really successful of turning woke into this pejorative place where you really have parents who are saying, you know, and I would say potentially my neighbor is one of those parents out there who's going like, I'm really cautious. I'm scared. I don't want a woke teacher messing with my kid's mind. And we're sitting there going, it's like, well, wait a minute. What do you think that means, woke? I think you actually do want a woke teacher. So how do we get back to recognizing going like, you know what, as a parent, I'm here to wonder, are 99% of my teachers woke? Because if not, I got a problem with the fact of the 1% who aren't woke. That's not a teacher that I want. How do we reclaim that space? 844-967-2789. Joanne, thank you for the call from Madison, Wisconsin. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. One more segment. You have the opportunity to give us a call. When we get back, though, we're going to do a little bit more with woke. Busted Pencils, back after the break.
What if I'm righting you a wrong? What if you knew it all along? What if I figured out that I did not belong? What if it always bothered me? What if I never did believe? Would it be wrong if I decided I should leave?
No. Well, yeah, it would be wrong if you decided to leave. Not now. 844-967-2789. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Of course it would be wrong if you left right now. Last part of the show, give us a call. Joanne from Madison, Stephen from Green Bay, appreciate your calls. Joanne, I got your address. I will not read it out loud on the air. You will be getting that T-shirt. We appreciate that call. We were talking about woke. All the things, the headlines in the news, all dealing with education. The idea, I started the show with education, freedom. How are the two related? Does education equal freedom? And then even moving back to, our great conversation with Dr. Diane Ravitch, and we got to the end of the show and really took out and said, look, to understand the attack on woke, to understand the attack on diversity, equity, inclusion, to understand the attack on factual history, to understand any of those attacks, you have to recognize that every single one of them, though, is centered on the idea of doing away with public education, doing away with the right to freedom, because public education is the only guaranteed right to freedom. So when you hear people talking about, we're going to go after this and we don't like that, it's an attack on the public system. Public education systems are the cornerstones of democracy. There are publics, there are laboratories. They're the places where our children come together with teachers, with, as Johnny, as you say, with people who are different, and they learn to work with each other, to spend time with each other, to learn also about, if I'm asleep, that might not be a good thing to go through life asleep. I might want to be awake or woke. Oh, you mean woke would be a good thing? So going to school and becoming woke and meeting a woke teacher, that's a goal. That's what public education is about. So any attack on wokeness is really an attack on freedom. That's the other thing. So we said last week, an attack on public schools is an attack on freedom. If you're attacking woke, you're attacking freedom also. And you're proclaiming that you would prefer sleep is too calming of a nice restorative potential place. I think what people are, they're calling for people to be dead, Johnny. That's where I'm saying, the opposite of woke is dead. I don't know. Is it too strong?
I mean, it's a little bit, it's pretty extreme. I'm not going to argue on it. I don't know if it's dead. I think dead would be less dangerous.
Yeah, you know what, and, though? And yeah, you're right.
It's like I think really it's a sleep. I like the antithesis of woke is snooze. You want some snoozers through life? You want to be kind of asleep at the wheel. That's not quite that's a cultural phrase, right? We talk being about sleep at the wheel, like driving, but not really sure how we got there.
Right.
Like zombie. So we want this.
But you know what? Even zombies would be, for the most part, they're walking around.
Undead.
They're portrayed as evil. But you know, think about this, right? Yeah, well, now you've got me thinking about the opposite of woke, because the attack on woke and what we see then for the curriculum, the banning of books and the don't say gay and you can't talk about periods and you can't do all of this is actually then the creation isn't really an asleep population. It's a distorted, bigoted population with a belief system that is incredibly entrenched in negativity and even leaning towards pushing people towards that hatred of others. And so when you hear people defending woke, the snowflake, all the people who mischaracterized it on the liberal left, okay, we're going to take it back from you because you messed it up. But woke is to say, wait a minute, man, I need to be awake because I need to see the soul of my brothers and sisters as human beings, and that these are, our job is to figure out how to get along with each other. My job is not to go to school and be taught to hate, to be taught to dislike, to be taught to distrust, to be taught to be skeptical of being taught reality. It's just like, you know, so the advocation of anti-wokeness is the advocation of a distorted, delusional, judgmental type of seething hatred. I don't know, is that too strong, Johnny?
No, I mean, I can go with it.
All right, I mean, you know, because you're right. I mean, dead is safe.
I mean, in this context, it's yeah, like,
you know, I mean, you know, once dead, you know, you can't cause any harm. But if you walk around distorted, delusional, you know, distrustful, paranoid, those are the things that can happen when, quote, you know, hey, my truth matters as much as your truth. And we'll go back to one of, you know, Ethan, our great guest, the scientist, of going, you know, and you talk about the false equivalencies. Guess what? Sometimes there actually are right answers. And you might not like them, but you don't get to claim it's wrong because you don't like it. You can't do that. You know, I don't know, Johnny, we got 1 minute. Again, everybody who called in, Joanne, Stephen, thank you. I don't know anybody. You can't really call in now, but the number is 844-967-2789. We appreciate it if you're out there. You know, have another guest though lined up for next week. Hopefully, Seresta from Florida to give us everything we're talking about in Florida. A deep dive, national board certified teacher, Seresta. Be looking forward to her. And I also put out the call, and if you're listening, anybody affiliated with New College, faculty and students, Busted Pencils is looking to talk to you. We want to know what it's like to be living under the false scholar Christopher Rufo. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Great show. Looking forward to next week. Bust some pencils, everybody. See you next week.
Want more Busted Pencils? Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Busted Pencils, or log on to BustedPencils.com for blogs, podcasts, and more. Join us again next Tuesday for Busted Pencils on Devil Radio 92.7.
Damon on Busted Pencils Radio. Please stop bothering me and just ask my mom already.
Hey, this is Tim from Rise Against here on Busted Pencils Radio.
We are Busted Pencils!